Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Big night last night for the Tea Party and the Working Families Party. Carl Paladino upsets the New York GOP. Let's listen to a few sounds of last night's election.
If we've learned anything tonight, it's that New Yorkers are as mad as hell. And we're not going to take it anymore.
I've lost, listen to me, I've lost political contests before. The difference between this fighter and other people is that they quit. Understand, I'm not quitting anything.
The evening we had hoped for, was it? But I want to congratulate Carl Paladino. He ran a very strong race, excited a lot of people. This campaign continues on in terms of the ideas and the spirit. And we will not rest until we see the kind of New York that we can all once again be proud of.
That was losing Republican candidate Rick Lazio, losing State Senate Democratic Majority Leader Pedro Espada, and the winner, Carl Paladino, at their victory parties last night. And joining us to discuss the results and a lot of other races, Sarah Palin's endorsed candidate will face freshman Democrat Mike McMahon on Staten Island, WNYC political all-stars Bob Hennelly and Ozzie Pabra. Good morning, Bob and Ozzie.
Good morning.
They were up
Good
all
morning.
Night processing the returns. They don't sleep, so you can. Thanks, Bob and Ozzie, for joining me. And before we start, Republicans, did you vote yesterday, Lazio or Paladino? How are you reacting to the news of Paladino's win? Give us a call. You go to the front of the line if you call us at 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Once again, Republican primary voters. We'd like to hear from you. Did you vote yesterday? And how do you feel about the results of the elections? And we also are going to be talking during this segment about the very interesting congressional race that's coming up in Staten Island. The Tea Party, Sarah Palin, and Rudy Giuliani-endorsed candidate Grimm won that election. He'll face Mike McMahon, who got a lot of flack earlier in this year for not supporting the Obama health care bill, and that will be an interesting and hard-fought race. We'll also be talking about some other races and the future of the state Senate. So give us a call, 212-433-9692. Now, Bob, you were at the GOP headquarters last night.
Yes.
What was their rationale? What were they? How are they spinning these results to you as the Paladino came in with this commanding victory? And let me just say that, you know, with 1% in, you know, Paladino had a huge victory and everybody around the newsroom here was like, okay, it's just 1%, can't conclude it. But the numbers held throughout the night and he won a commanding victory over Rick Lazio when all the numbers were in.
They have been in denial. They were in denial when Paladino started. I think that this has been a party in disarray. Even before the convention, you had an attempt by the GOP leadership to bring in Steve Levy, a Democrat, the county executive of Suffolk, to come in and try to upend the field because they weren't confident with Lazio, even though he had come out very early, got the support of people like Giuliani. There was really no response except when Paladino actually on the widescreen TV, they got to watch him from Buffalo, and they actually applauded and cheered when he got involved with the Paladino rhetorical flourishes, you know, the end to Andrew status Cuomo, that was a big
line.
That's a good line. Then also when he went after the cesspool in Albany. So, you know, and there were some Paladino supporters in the room, but even people with Lazio stickers on were energized to some degree about the directness that Paladino represents. So, of course, the open question, the big question is, what does Lazio, who got a consolation prize, call the Conservative Party nomination? He could still appear on the ballot. So that's what is going on behind the scenes right now, is trying to bring everybody into the fold. And let's put this victory in perspective. Yes, he won a commanding lead, but it's 260-some thousand votes. I think if I look here, what does it say for the number of Republicans? There's 3 million Republicans in New York State. So that's less than 10%. That's not a mandate.
Ozzy, you spent some time with Carl Paladino. I believe he gave you a silly band, if I'm not mistaken, which is something that he likes to do, is give out silly bands. How much of a threat is he to Cuomo?
He is, I think, the challenger that Cuomo, in some respects, did not want. He is much more aggressive, much more assertive, and he's better funded than Rick Lazio. And when you are a candidate who's a front runner, as Andrew Cuomo is, the last thing you want is such an unpredictable kind of opponent as Paladino. But to go back to Bob's point about this, one of the things that was that was analyzed by Jerry Skernick, who's a kind of well-known number cruncher in the political world here in New York, sort of crunched the numbers, and he said that the turnout, basically among Republicans in New York voting for the governor's race, was around 18%. If you try to do the math, and the turnout among Democrats who were voting in the Democratic primary for attorney general was far lower. And according to Jerry Skernick, it symbolized the kind of national trend where Republican voters just seem to be more energized to go out to the polls than Democrats.
And we do have some of those voters on the line right now. Sonia from Flushing, Queens. Hi, you're in WNYC. Sonia?
Yes, hi. Can
hi.
You hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
Great.
So you called in. You voted for Paladino?
I did, and I have to be honest. Lazio's run, he'd never been successful before, and I wasn't really into him. And then when Paladino kind of came on the scene, I said, you know what? Maybe it is a time to get people who don't have any political background. They have no other personal agendas previously. Maybe it's a time to get these people out there. And I think it was proven that people really are just tired of all of the old politicians that we've been given. There's no fresh turnover or anything like that. And he came on the scene, and I think that was just proven that, you know, he's a little cuckoo. Yeah, he's a little, you know, taking the bet and whatnot. But, you know, maybe we need someone who's a little more outrageous. And I think he kind of proved that.
Well, what you say, you know, a little cuckoo. I mean, Andrew Cuomo issued a press release almost instantaneously last night, his campaign, saying he is too extreme for New York. And I'm guessing that that's the theme that we're going to hear. I mean, do you think that your candidate's going to have trouble defending himself against that charge?
I don't know if he'll have trouble defending himself. I think at the end of the day, he might be a little real. And I think that maybe that's what people are looking for.
All right. Stay with us for 1 second, Sonia, because I want to bring into this conversation Ruth from Manhattan, who is also voted in the Republican primary. Who'd you vote for, Ruth?
I voted for Lazio. I respect him a lot. I don't know enough about Paladino, and you know, just sort of once Lazio was running, I liked the stand that he took on the mosque as early as he did, and that was enough for me. But one thing I'd like to say is that I'm just so disappointed to hear this, you know, immediate kind of journalist rhetoric going coming from the mainstream media press, including your reporters last night. I heard words like, you know, the mosque doesn't matter to anybody who's in New York, because we're just so much more, you know, intelligent than everybody, you know, all these Islamophobic, racist extremists. And I really, really am begging the media to just kind of quit while you're ahead, because the more that you insult the intelligence of people who don't agree with you, the uglier this country is going to become. I mean, I am not Islamophobic. I do not want the mosque there. And I really resent the first words coming out of your reporter's mouth last night were about how the mosque
right.
doesn't matter.
Wait, just hang on 1 second, because Ruth, I want you to just talk to Sonia for a moment. If Ruth and Sonia, if you could talk to each other. Ruth, can you get behind Sonia's candidate?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't agree that I don't even want to use the word kooky, because I listened to Charlie Rangel this morning on another station, and he's like incoherent. I mean, I think, you know, if we're going to start giving, you know, mental wellness tests to our elected officials on both sides of the aisle, we're all in trouble.
So, all right. And Sonia, anything you want to say to Ruth?
Sure. I mean, when I said the term kooky, I didn't mean, obviously, someone who's incoherent or anything of that nature. I meant more, I'm shocked myself that Charlie Rangel was reelected. I'm shocked, but at the end of the day, I'm not shocked. I voted at 8 o'clock last night in my district that is a very high union district, and I was the 61st person. So
All right. We
can only blame each other here. But I mean, I will say, yes, if the person was coming out seeming completely incoherent and absolute crazy ideas and things like that, of course, then I would not have supported them. But
the only reason I bring it up is because now, like, the reporters from WNYC have their journalist line like that.
Okay, hang on, Ruth. Before you go on with that, let's hear from Bob Henley and Ozzy about that.
I've always thought that Carl Palladino is someone who speaks directly from his heart and does not use a script, and that's why he's a threat to the established order. What Rick Lazio, the only critique I've ever made about the question of the mosque was that Lazio had a very good counter-Albany argument early on. He was really hitting the issues that Palladino was so strong on. Palladino feels this frustration people have about the value of their homes declining while their property taxes continue to escalate and public workers seem to be totally immune from the things that private taxpayers are feeling very difficultly. So he is in ascendancy because he connected with these core Republican values that Lazio got lost in an international thing where he didn't get to capitalize on a much broader agenda that he had been in command of in the beginning.
All right. And Ozzy, I think that you heard at the Rangel headquarters that Rangel made reference to the mosque. And I think you were talking about how in the Democratic primary context, this is one of the few places in the country where you would be hearing that called out by the victor. Do I have that right?
Correct. Actually, down the street from where Rangel was celebrating is an Islamic center of some sort. I'm not exactly familiar with it, but there's some establishment right down the street from where Rangel was celebrating. And in the Democratic primary, it seemed that voters at least wanted to hear a candidate acknowledge that the developers of the project had a right to build at the current site, which is two blocks north of where the World Trade Center stood. And Rangel, who was being challenged by a number of Democratic opponents, wanted to, in some respects, politically shore up his more liberal supporters, and he came out in support of the mosque very forcefully. That was something that his field of opponents, who were not well-funded, not well-organized, and not well-known, didn't come out as forcefully about. So Rangel was kind of positioning himself in a way to shore up voters when he took on this issue.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer, speaking with WNYC political reporters Bob Henley and Ozzy Pabra about last night's primary returns and what they mean for the general election. We're going to take a few more calls at 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. We've been talking to Republicans about the primary yesterday. I'd like to also put out a call out to voters on Staten Island about the congressional race. How do you feel about the results there? What are your thoughts looking ahead to the general election? How do you feel about freshman incumbent Mike McMahon? Will you be supporting him? Will you be supporting his opponent, Grimm? 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC, and we're going to go to a Republican on Staten Island. Diane, hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello. First, I wanted to say that I'm a little frustrated with the way the media is portraying Carl Palladino as being so outrageous. If you'll recall, this year, last year in New York, our legislature locked each other out. They literally locked the door.
That's a good point.
So we need somebody maybe who can deal with fools like that up there.
Well, what do you think about some of these things that have come out during the course of the election, the emails?
I think the reality is that Palladino not being an experienced politician, and where you learn to carefully inspect every word before you speak, he's a more natural person. I think in the course of people's daily lives, they do make statements sometimes that are not necessarily the best statement. But I think they're really being over-portrayed.
All right, Diane, thank you for raising the point about Albany, because I did want to talk about that race.
I think as long as Carl Palladino has paid his taxes, and that's critical. Other than that, the stuff that I think the media is making something out of, people are desperate for leadership. And if they feel that somebody is going to do what it is that they promise, they're with them.
All right. Well, let's see if we can get any Democrats out there for Palladino? Any of Democrats thinking about you might vote for him in November and why? We'd like to know. 212 833-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Democrats, anything you've heard from Palladino in the last 24 hours that makes you think, yeah, I'd like to vote against the status Cuomo, as he puts it? Here's another clip from Palladino, because I want to talk about this phenomenon. It was somewhat lost in the discussion of sort of Tea Party, not Tea Party, insider, outsider. But let's listen to what Palladino said about a bus ticket to the Sun Belt.
If we rebuild New York, if we restore government of the people, I believe we will see great things in great future days. A growing economy, schools that graduate our children and prepare them for a fulfilling life, jobs for our children, not just one-way bus tickets to Raleigh and Phoenix. Jobs from companies investing in our state, not moving away. And a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
That was Republican businessman Carl Palladino speaking at his victory party last night in Buffalo. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting about that comment, Bob and Ozzie, I'd like to hear from both of you, is this has been a very, very difficult issue for everyone who has been governor of New York in the last several decades. First, it was Mario Cuomo, who essentially lost over this issue of sort of where are the jobs in Western New York? Where are the jobs in Buffalo? What is the industry there? Pataki really won challenging Cuomo on that, but then eventually it was his undoing too. Spitzer was supposed to be the one who was going to bring sort of high technology to upstate New York. And sort of decade after decade, this remains a theme. And I'm wondering to also to our listeners, is this an effective attack against Cuomo? After all, it was his father who sort of started this trend. Right?
What's funny is that this is a rhetorical line that was used very skillfully by Chris Christie and Mayor Giuliani. I'll never forget. This was a turning point in the campaign for governor. They picked a warehouse in Mahwah where families had their possessions kind of vacuum-packed with plastic with the name and the destination. And they would point up and say, it's too late for the Smiths. They're going to Pensacola. Too late. And so it was a vivid representation of this phenomena, which is real, which is people leaving. And particularly when you have the intergenerational issue where children go to college other places and stay somewhere else because they can't afford to be here. The problem is that this comes at a time where America's influence is shrinking economically. You just have to read the brilliant reporting by the New York Times about the loss that the United States suffered at the hands of the Chinese when it came with wind technology. Do you remember wind technology, the green technology, how we were going to be on top of wind turbines? Well, like in 3 days, it looks like the Chinese ate our lunch. So now we know so much wind technology, they're going to dominate that technology. So in some ways, you have provincial players, whether they're Republican or Democrat, trying to leverage something where the economy has gone global.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it's obviously, were Carl Palladino to win for governor, this would be as thorny a problem as for him as it's been for everyone else. But it's a very potent emotional theme, perhaps so for Mac from Merrick, Long Island. Hi, Mac. You're on WNYC.
How are you?
Thanks for calling.
I'm not necessarily, I don't know a lot about Palladino, but I mean, it's going to be as apparent to this choice, Andrew Cuomo, who I just don't trust. I think he's part of, you know, the typical machine. He raised $26 million, a lot of it mysteriously through these LLCs that he's not disclosing. I just don't trust him. I think he's going to be business as usual.
Were you thinking before yesterday that you might support him?
Who, Andrew Cuomo?
Yeah.
No, you've always felt
you wouldn't support him.
No, I thought he did an awful job at HUD. He was part of, he was the beginning of the end for the housing crisis back when he was there.
All right. Well, Mac, thank you so much for calling. And I would like to put out a call out to Cuomo voters now. Are you a Democrat who's going to vote for Cuomo? And if so, why? We would like to hear from you. Mac, thanks so much for calling. Let's take another call from George from Brooklyn Heights. Hi, George. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a Democrat. I voted in the Democratic primary yesterday. I couldn't vote for Palladino. And I have one problem with him, which he can solve very easily, and it would be refreshing, and I guess part of his refreshing nature if he did. But that was this mosque thing, which I'm also an opponent of. But the eminent domain part of his position on that is totally unprincipled, and it should be withdrawn.
Ozzie, you want to explain what that is?
Carl Palladino had voiced strong opposition to building an Islamic center and mosque within two blocks of the World Trade Center, and he had argued that the state could intervene and use domain to halt the development of the project. He had said that he doesn't think it's appropriate to build anywhere where the dust cloud from the attacks had swirled.
So, David, thank you for your call. Let's take another call from Al from Brooklyn. Al, who are you thinking about voting for and why?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sure. You know, back in 2000, my 401k was $400,000 in excess of when Bush took office and the Republicans took control. And when Bush left, it was $160,000, and jobs were lost left and right. And people have such short memories. I had been a Republican no more from what they'd done. You know, I cannot believe that people have such short memories. And Obama comes into the picture, although I don't like what he's been doing, he's at least trying. And, you know, people forget 700,000 jobs lost in 1 month with Bush and all that stuff. It's like in Palladino coming into the picture. You know, he's a Republican no matter what. And he should, again, no Democrat should vote him, that's for sure.
Al, what is it that you don't like about what Obama's done specifically?
He made a lot of promises, especially from the progressives, for the progressives, the example like health insurance. And seeing my health policies going up, the premiums, et cetera, you know, they're out of control. And the politician should be able to come down on them and make it more reasonable for the average person to be able to afford, let's say, health insurance, things along those lines. It's almost like business, big business, with their money, they are forcing the politicians to do whatever they want. Plus, what I don't understand also, I know years ago, once you were elected, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, you looked out for the nation, for America. And, you know, the way I see it, when every Republican lines up one way, there's something wrong with that. And, you know, it's almost like, it reminds me of the Communist Party. The chairman says this is what you will do.
When you say you were a former Republican, how long ago are we talking here?
I would say I voted for Bush the first time. And the second time, I did not.
All right. Al, thank you for your call. Bob, I think you wanted to respond. And then I do want to talk about some of the other races.
One of the biggest challenges for the Obama administration is that they have invested so much in this health care reform, and it still remains largely theoretical. So people are feeling the pain of the industry trying to race ahead and take advantage by raising prices like the caller describes, and still the benefits remain something in the future. So they're paying the political price now, and also there's a lot of anxiety in the marketplace around this with small businesses and even big businesses not knowing how it's going to play out. So they're paying for it in many ways.
All right, let's talk about some other races. Thanks, everyone. This has been a fascinating conversation, Bob, Ozzie. I think we can agree that it's going to be a very interesting election season because now Andrew Cuomo has a feisty and unpredictable opponent, sort of Democrats who are unhappy, like we heard this morning, may actually be flirting with the idea of voting with Palladino. So interesting season ahead. Let's talk about Espada. Ozzie, what does that mean for the state Senate? What's going to change in Albany now?
What's going to change in Albany is that when lawmakers decide to sort of go their own way or sort of brand themselves as somehow independent, they're going to think twice about running against a unified opposition, which was what presented, which is what faced Espada. He was opposed by people who supported same-sex marriage. He was opposed by organized labor unions. And the Democratic establishment had cleared the field and made sure that Espada would only face one opponent, so the opposition vote wouldn't be diluted.
Bob, you were up in the district. You were speaking to the Democratic nominee, who is now the Democratic nominee, right, Gustavo Rivera. And one of the things that he said was that there was a promise in 2008 when the Republicans took control of the state Senate that suddenly there would be this progressive agenda enacted,
right, exactly.
And then it wasn't. So what happens now? I mean, obviously, we don't know if the Democrats will prevail and will retain control in November. But if they do, will the agenda look different?
Well, certainly, they won't have Pedro Spot in the mix. What remains to be seen is what happens.
Or Hiram Mansura, who also lost yesterday.
Right. In terms of the swing, that's what we have to see. One of the things that Rivera did raise was that he had to try to get people to believe again, because there was this disappointment and disillusionment, kind of double-barreled, because people got all energized about President Obama, change we can believe in, turned out in big numbers. Then there was, oh, we won the Senate by 2. Okay, this is great. And then no. And so it's very hard when people keep being disappointed to keep them engaged in politics. So it really depends on the kind of numbers they have to work with.
Do we have to wait until November to know whether there's going to be a different kind of Democratic agenda?
Absolutely, I think you do. I mean, you have right now, it's curious to see how unified is the Democratic ticket. I mean, you had a situation where Attorney General Cuomo chose not to endorse anyone to be Attorney General. We have Eric Schneiderman on the left end of the party. Then we have someone more mainstream, Tom DiNapoli, who's going to have a tough race for controller, running against Harry Wilson. Tom DiNapoli wasn't elected. He kind of came out of the process of that Albany chaos. So and Wilson is self-funded. Then you have Donovan, a very attractive Staten Island prosecutor Republican, running against Schneiderman. So how do those dynamics impact? And then also the House races. What kind of impact does that have? Because the Democrats themselves believe that at least 6 Democrats out of the 29 seats in New York are vulnerable. That's the alchemy.
Ozzie, you were last night at Rangel headquarters, but we were all closely watching the returns in the Attorney General race on the Democratic side. And it was an interesting night because for quite some time, Eric Schneiderman was way back in the pack. And this was really a sort of just a quirk of where the votes came in. The New York City votes all came in at the end of the night. But it looked like he might be doing badly, and Kathleen Rice did not win, but she came awfully close. So what was the sort of Democratic, sort of operative spin on this result?
There was a lot of talk about how much of a role Andrew Cuomo was apparently playing behind the scenes. At the state Democratic Party convention, there was talk that Rice was going to come in and really have a show of strength. And what happened was one of the lesser-known candidates, Eric DiNalo, was able to round up a large number of upstate Democratic County chairmen, and he sort of positioned himself as a state candidate. And then you have the New York Times editorial board sort of, calling out Cuomo for secretly trying to have a hand in picking his successor and also a person that would be watching over him should he become the governor's office. And he relinquished and he relented and he, sort of urged everyone to be put on the ballot, created some interesting math. The operative spin last night was that, good, true progressive values won out in a Democratic primary, and people were voting not so much for a law and order candidate, but for someone who represents their values as a Democrat. And the fact that it was a law enforcement office was sort of secondary.
Yeah, but I mean, Kathleen Rice did very well. Given the array of forces behind Schneiderman, the New York Times endorsement, the unions that backed him, she had a very strong showing.
Right, she did. Her base was suburbs of, and one of the things that sort of hindered Eric Schneiderman was some of his positions made him not as popular outside of New York City, which you can argue is where less votes are. One of the things he championed was a new way of counting for the census purposes where inmates are counted. Normally they're counted in the prisons where they're located, and that gives cities that have prisons, usually upstate and rural, more people, and therefore they get more funding from federal programs, and they're able to redraw district lines that usually find Republican. Well, Schneiderman helped rewrite the law that says those prisoners who are normally city should be counted in their home districts. Well, that's something very popular in New York City, not as popular in the suburbs and not as popular upstate, which theoretically would lose political clout under his policy.
All right, Ozzie, Bob, we're going to go out with a voter from Staten Island. Ted, your thoughts on this race?
Well, you mentioned people that would probably be voting for McMahon, and I probably will, and it doesn't mean I think that Mike is perfect, but, who's
running? Are you a Democrat, Republican?
Yeah, I'm a Democrat. I mean, who's running against him? Some wacko, Tea Party candidate? These Tea Party people, they have this rhetoric about throwing the bums out, but, you know, they're the bums that have been the bums since the word bum was invented.
And you say that because?
Well, you know, what are they, is it Sarah Palin? They just come up with all these wacko ideas. I mean, they claim they're conservatives when basically they're regressives.
Ted, you said you're going to vote for McMahon. Did you agree with him on health care?
No, I didn't.
Doesn't hinder the way you think you'll vote in the fall?
Well, you know, what you're going to disagree with McMahon on health care, and yet, you know, you would vote for somebody who's running 10 miles to his right? That doesn't make any sense.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Ted. Bob, Ozzy, final words?
No, we just can't. We'll have to see what Rick Lazio does today with that conservative ballot line.
All right. It's going to be an interesting 2 months. Ozzy, final words?
It's going to be fun.
All right. We'll be talking more, no doubt. And, of course, Bob, Ozzy, and Brian Lehrer and I will be recording an issue of Digesting Politics later in the week, as we will be doing every election week throughout the season, to talk about all these exciting races. Thank you to everybody who called. And when we come back, we'll talk about pensions for state workers, and also, can money buy you happiness?